All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. This is episode 93. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99. Welcome back, y'all. I am back. As y'all know in the channel, I've already been back, but this is the first episode of this podcast that I've done in about 2 weeks. You know, just took a little time off. Much needed break just away from the channel. You know, I was still doing some other things, grinding, taking care of business, but I just had to get away from the channel for a while, you know, because I wanted to do some other things that were just, you know, outweighing this at the moment. So, yeah, a little breakaway. I might take another one. Who knows? Because, you know, it's the summertime. I ain't gonna lie. It's the summertime, you know, and I want to get it in, man. You know, only live once. So I'm trying to have some fun out here, you know. But, yeah, man, I'm back, man. It's good to be back on the channel. You know, a lot of things going on in WMMA. You know, I know there's some questions people been asking me about the champion, Carla, as far as the strawweight champion, and, you know, questions about the flyweight division. So, you know, I had to come back and say, okay, yeah, you know, okay, let me go ahead and address some things. But this episode here, I got a few things I want to talk about, you know, just a little, not even a recap. I just want to discuss one of the fights that took place a couple Saturdays ago now, you know, during my break, a strawweight fight that just kind of likens to the topic, one of the topics, which is, you know, the go after it, you know, the want. You know, the go get them, you know, you got to have that go get them out there, right? So I want to talk about that strawweight fight between Jenny Fry and Vanessa Demopoulos a little bit, and just, you know, how it's a good example of how some fighters need to move, you know, moving forward if they don't want to always get these, you know, be on the end of these wrong decisions, right? So I want to talk about that, and, you know, I want to discuss the interim title business at 115. You know, the women's strawweight division, that's been something that's been suggested by Mackenzie Dern. You know, so let's talk about Mackenzie Dern, you know, making the interim title suggestion. I want to give you my thoughts on that. And last, I want to discuss Macy Barber and her comments on Valentina Shevchenko being exposed in more than one fight. Right. That was something she talked about in the post fight. So, yeah, let's get into it, guys. These episodes, I'm going to start breaking them down a little bit shorter because, you know, I'm going to just have certain topics I want to discuss. So, you know, they'd be like 30, 40 minutes long now, not long hours here, you know, in these shows. But if y'all want to check this show out, you know, it'll be on the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. But it's also on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. So, you know, when you're riding and you want to hear combat sports talk, you know, about WMMA, subscribe to these platforms and you can hear it on the go, you know. So, yeah, man. So last Saturday or two Saturdays ago, you know, during my break, I was still watching fights. You know, I was still watching fights. I just wasn't on the channel, but there wasn't a lot going on anyway. So I said this was a perfect time to, you know, get into it, you know, just chill out. Of course, there was Kat Zingano and Pam Bam, you know. I definitely could have seen it going that way. You know, Kat Zingano, she had the skills and the veteran tactics. You know, she's always been a high level fighter. You know, she's been to the highest level in the UFC compared to Pam Bam. So when it came down to it, I knew she had those skill sets. I just wanted to see somebody like Pam that wanted to go after it, get the victory, you know. But I think even on Instagram, Pam, you know, she's addressed it. You know, she's talked about some changes she's needing to make, you know, some things that she might have to figure out as far as, you know, maybe diet, the training camp, the gym, little things like that, you know, mentality, you know. So, yeah, that's on her because the fight was pretty much a one-sided fight by Kat Zingano. You know, Kat Zingano just constantly taking her down and controlling her on the ground, wrestling, the striking as well. I thought Pam would have had more success with striking, but, you know, when it came down to it, Kat Zingano just had her beat by she had her beat in every department, you know. So, yeah, I definitely want to see Pam Bam push forward and make the right changes that she needs to do, you know. Even on Instagram, you know, she never seemed like a person that's just focused on the BS out there. You know, she's not just out there just taking pictures and doing crazy things like that. You know, she's always posting wholesome stuff. You know, like, I like her Instagram because, you know, she's usually posting some nature stuff. Like, she's just out there being a regular person, you know what I mean, not trying to be extra. So I do want to see Pam make it out there. So shout out to Pam Bam. Hopefully the Kat Zingano-Chris Cyborg fight happens now. Because, you know, Kat came out there looking sharp. She got her a ranked opponent this time around, so I can't say anything. You know, she beat a ranked opponent. Let's get the Chris Cyborg fight, right? All right. Alejandra Lara, you know, disappointing performance against Alara Iwani. Ioane, you know, she was taking Laura down, controlling her, but, you know, Laura could have had more success with her hands. You know, she was rocking the girl. She was rocking Ioane. She just couldn't capitalize. The fight actually went the opposite of how I thought it would go. You know, Ioane had the boxing skills, but she was getting touched up, almost knocked out. Whereas Laura, I thought she would have taken the fight to the ground, but she was getting out and grappled. So it was just one of them things, man. Like, Laura, you know, she has to get up and get it, man. Like, she got to get up and get it. I mean, she's got the skills, but she really needs to start showcasing that want that you see these other fighters have out there, right? So, yeah, that was Bellator. But the strawweight fight in the UFC a couple weekends ago, Jenufri, Vanessa Demopoulos, I had Jenufri win the fight. You know, it was, a split decision. I think one of the cards had it like 30-27 for Demopoulos, which I didn't see. Not at all. I could have seen 30-27 for Jenufri, but I didn't see a 30-27 for Demopoulos. Now, when I went back and looked at the fight, I still thought Jenufri did enough to win it. But it's another one of those situations where I say, look, you got to beat those four opponents, the three judges and your opponent in there, you know. So for Jenufri, she showed a lot of good technique. You know, it turned out to be striker versus grappler. You know, like I said, I knew that Jenufri would win the stand-up battle. You know, she's got the hands. Demopoulos just doesn't have that defense. She's kind of slow when it comes to her striking, her boxing's off. You know, so yeah, Jenufri was winning the hand battle, but there came a time where Vanessa Demopoulos, you know, really started to bite down. And that's the thing about Demopoulos, you know, she has, I think, a lot of fighters with good technique need out there. You know, Demopoulos never quits. She's always dangerous. I said that even before my prediction, you know, because I said she's a dangerous fighter. You know, Demopoulos may not have the defense, may lack the skill set on her feet, but she never stops trying. And, you know, that's what she did in this fight. She never stopped trying. You know, the right hand started landing on Jenufri. You know, it was opening up opportunities where she could take her down or, you know, clinch her and get some more work in, you know, land some good knees to the body, I believe in like the second round, you know. Third round, she started closing distance and, you know, swinging that overhand right and never stopped trying, you know. Like, there's some fighters out there that they stay in a fight. They stay in a fight. They just go through the motions and they're just there, like Jessica Ai this past weekend. You know, she never got knocked down, or, you know, she was never like quitting in the fight, but she was just there, right? You knew she was going to lose. But like Demopoulos, when I see her fight, I can say this all day, like all day long. Oh, she's getting pieced up. She's getting pieced up. But I know that she's going to be looking for the win. And that's why I'm saying some of these fighters out there, they need that go get them. They need that killer instinct. You know, they need that killer instinct because it'll keep you in a fight. You know, she never stops trying in a fight. Like, even like to a higher level, Jessica Andrade. Like, Jessica Andrade could be losing every single round, but then, boom, she comes back. Derek Lewis, he could be losing every single round, and boom, he'll come right back, right? He's always got that kill switch in him. So Jenufri, moving forward, you know, if she wants to continue her UFC career, she just needs to be that type of fighter that, you know, you got to understand, okay, sometimes we can pick our shots, sometimes we can sit back, but if we got somebody that's thundering forward and they're constantly connecting on us and they're putting pressure on us and they're winning the crowd over, we got to come back with the same energy and times five, you know what I mean? We got to be sharper on that, right? And that's how I look at it sometimes. I'm watching these fights, I'm like, yo, Jenufri is doing good, you know. I'm like, okay, her hands are good, but she's got to start impressing these judges. Like, you know, she can't just sit back and think, you know, these little, you know, the combinations look good. Like I said, some judges will like it, but you got to win on all across the board. You know, to get it all the way across the board, you got to be 100% on all these, on each judge's scorecard. You got to win every single round, right? You got to convince them. But Demopoulos, you know, moving forward, I know it might not be enough to win, you know, to a higher level with her skill set, but on this level, to get past it, Jenufri needed to counter that energy, you know, with killer instinct as well. And that's where I think she just failed, you know, to get it. Like I said, I thought she wanted to fight, but, you know, Vanessa Demopoulos, she never stops trying. You know, I think judges, they score that sometime, you know, and they can sneak it in because they'll say, oh, these punches landed, or, oh, she controlled the clinch, or so on, or she got a takedown, right? That's what it came down to. So not just talking about this fight, that's what a lot of fighters out there need, you know. So there's, I'm not going to name them right now, but there are some fighters that just kind of go through the motions and, you know, they they don't know what they want in the octagon while the clock is ticking, right? But I believe Demopolis, she wants to win, even though she's lacking in something. She still keeps on trying, you know what I mean? She still keeps on trying. That's why I see her pushing forward. She could still beat a lot of these other fighters out there, even with high skill sets, because if they don't have the kill switch, she'll overpower them at some point, right? You know, not on a high level, but you know what I mean? Like, that go get them will win you a fight against this level of fighter, right? I mean, she showed it against Jin Yu Fry. That's what I thought on that fight the past weekend. Somebody asked me about that fight, so I just wanted to talk about it. Like, yeah, I thought Jin Yu Fry won, but sometimes, you know, when you don't have that go get him and that killer instinct, you know, you won't win on these judges' scorecards. That's just what it is, you know. So I think that's one of those natural abilities, like you and Macy Barber, that is hard to teach. You know, I think it's just some fighters they have in them. Like Demopolis may not be the tech savvy in there. You know, she may not be the best technician, but she's a fighter. You know, she never quits. She never quits in there, right? So yeah, that's my thoughts on that fight. Sticking with the strawweight division, like I said, a few days ago, I saw this interview with Mackenzie Dern, and, you know, she's bringing up some fights that interest her. And, you know, she got on this subject of, you know, fighting for the title. But, of course, that's not going to happen right now with everybody, you know, getting at Carla Esparza, you know, with higher rank than her. The thought of an interim title was brought up, you know, and Mackenzie Dern, you know, she kind of suggested it from what I heard in the interview. I'm going to go back and look at it with y'all right now. But, you know, Mackenzie Dern, you know, kind of brought up the interim title, and, you know, she suggested that. And, you know, she hit up Dana McMaynard and said, you know, hey, I'll do this fight. It doesn't matter who it is, Yan Zhanan or Zhang Wei Li, whoever. Or, you know, she just wants to fight and get in line, right? But let me pull it up here, and we'll talk a little bit about it, and I'll give you my thoughts on that. So let's see. Here's some of the key points here from this interview. So Mackenzie Dern said this. She said, okay, if they do have an interim title, okay, so it says, speaking to MMA Junkie on Thursday, Dern shared her idea of competing for the interim title against Zhang Wei Li. She said, if they do have an interim title, I would like to be in there. Fight Zhang Wei Li or whoever it will be, I'm definitely interested in that. I'm ready. I'm talking with McMaynard. I even sent a message to Dana White. I'm like, hey, Dana, I'm ready. Whoever it is, I'm ready. My manager, she said her manager got at him. A lot of names been thrown out there. Yan Zhanan, Rose Namajunas, Zhang Wei Li has been thrown out in the past. So I'm not sure how serious they are about that, but definitely I would be ready for any of these girls. Okay, so she said if they do an interim title, she would like to be in that, and she would like to fight Zhang Wei Li for that interim title, right? Now, addressing that right away. Well, first off, I say if she wanted to do an interim belt for like maybe the second or third in line, fine. You know what I mean? Or, you know, try to get that going, fine. If she wanted to get that going, but right off top for interim title at 115, I don't really think it's a good idea. I personally don't think it's really something that's needed. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the rankings, right? That's the whole purpose of rankings. That's the whole purpose of having number one, number two, number three, number four, and so on. Like, if you look at flyweight, 125, Valentina Shevchenko, she's just been going down the line. There hasn't really been a need for the interim title there, right? Whoever was number one at the time, Valentina beat that person. She went to next in line, number two, went on to number three, number four, and so on, you know, to, you know, Lauren Murphy and to her last opponent, you know, Tyler Santos, right? She's just been going down the line like that, right? And I think that's how it's supposed to be, right? When that person, number one, gets their shot, going to the next one, going to the next, and going to the next. So for a strawweight to have an interim title right now, I don't really think it's something necessary, because you actually have some good, solid contenders already that you can speak highly on, or not even speak highly on, but their resumes speak for themselves, right? You know, it's pretty obvious who should be next in line, and that is Zhang Wei Li. Zhang Wei Li shouldn't even need to fight for an interim title against Mackenzie Dern at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I know there was discussion. I talked about Marina Rodriguez deserving it more than Zhang Wei Li. But at this point, Zhang Wei Li is that fighter. She is that fighter because, you know, Dana already promised the winner of Joanna Zhang Wei Li 2 would get the shot. right? So there really is no discussion for interim title. You know, that's why I heard Mackenzie Dern say that. I was like, no, you know, Mackenzie Dern versus Zhang Wei Li for interim belt or for Carl Esparza next doesn't really make sense now because she is number one. You know, Zhang Wei Li's already number one and she's already in line and she was already promised that fight. So for Mackenzie Dern, you know, maybe another name out there would be good for her. But even then, it shouldn't be for an interim title because if she was to fight Rose for it or Yan Zhanan, I don't think that would put her in standing to fight for the belt next, especially whenever the number three right now, looking at the rankings, is somebody that already beat her pretty easy. And that's Marina Rodriguez, right? So this division probably already has it fleshed out the best as far as who can go next. Like, you know, like these fighters ahead of Mackenzie Dern, to me, don't even really have to fight for any other interim belts because they already did enough. Like Zhang Wei Li. Get Zhang Wei Li in there. In the meantime, Marina could actually sit back. But if they want to do Marina Rose, they might have to do that to really solidify it for Marina Rodriguez. And like I said, Marina already stands on a good note because Marina Rodriguez's streak is just as good as Zhang Wei Li's when she got her first title shot. I'm going to keep bringing that up. Same with Rose. Like, Rose didn't go on a winning streak when she got her title shot, her first title shot. Zhang Wei Li only got a 3-fight win streak when she got her first title shot. So remember that, y'all. I'm going to keep beating that to y'all's head. So for Marina, she's already in a good place where she could actually just sit back and wait. But it wouldn't be good to do that anyway because you want to stay in shape. You want to stay in fighter shape. So if Rose happens, that's a good fight for her. Marina going to fight to the highest caliber. Let that be the former champion, Rose Namajunas, right? That's a good fight. Really good fight. But as for Mackenzie Dern, she could fight Rose too. She could fight Rose, but I don't think it would be for a title or even like an interim title, you know, because I don't think it would do enough to surpass Marina Rodriguez. Yan Zhanan's a good fight for, you know, Yan Zhanan's a good fight. Again, that's not a fight that's going to surpass Marina, but it's a good fight in the meantime to just get her in some type of fighting shape to prepare for the elite fighters, right? But other than that, I really don't think Mackenzie Dern really needs to worry about an interim title, or I don't even think she's in a position to fight for interim title. Not like, you know, whenever Ciryl Gane, you know, fought for his interim title, you know, just to solidify him being next against Francis Ngannou, you know what I mean? It's just like whenever these titles come up, interim titles, you know, they're to cause less confusion in some divisions whenever, you know, some guys have already been there and done that. And some guys just seem to be, you know, I won't say out of the loop. That won't really fall. But just guys, whenever they don't really go on, like, these solid win streaks, you know, so they have to kind of settle it this way. Like, who's the best out of these fighters? Let's make an interim title, right? But when it comes down to like the women's strawweight division, it's a little bit more. I think it's a little bit more in your face. It's just right there. The answer's there. Like Zhang Wei Li, right? Then Marina Rodriguez, yeah, because they're the most solid ones, and you already got two set up right there. So right with that set up, the next ones can just kind of fight it out, like Rose versus Mackenzie, Yan Zhanan versus Mackenzie, and that can work it out that way. Because then after that, if Mackenzie Dern wins one of those fights, she can fight another fight that'll get her prepared for like a title eliminator. So that's all it is. Like, you just really need a title eliminator. I don't really think you need an interim title. You know, you just need to win that number one spot. So that's how I feel about that. But yeah, another thing I would just say is I think it just comes down to you have to factor in the skills, the excitement, and the market right now. So the marketing value of the fighter, like Zhang Wei Li, to me, doesn't really need to fight for an interim belt or interim title against Mackenzie Dern, you know, because she already has those three things going for right now. You know, improved skills, she's an exciting fighter, and she has a high marketing value. You know, people want to see her dethrone Carl Esparza right now, even Dana White, because, you know, the position that Zhang Wei Li is in, you know, she can go in there, beat somebody like Carl Esparza, and, you know, win this division back over. You know what I mean? Win the division back over and win some of the fans that just kind of dumped on her, win them back. And then, you know, just bring in the new fans. You know, she's the one that's got China behind her. You know, she has the bigger market. So there really is no need for interim belt for her, right? If that makes sense. So that's just where I stand with that. You know, Zhang Weili already promised that. And, you know, there's a lot of stock already in her. And if it wasn't her, it would be Marina Rodriguez to me. You know, if anybody was just to be rewarded an interim title, it should just be Marina Rodriguez. You know, she should be able to hold a belt, an interim belt, and just say, okay, well, after Zhang Weili gets her shot, I'm going to fight the winner of Zhang Weili and Carla, right? That's how it should be. But those other fights aren't bad, though, for Mackenzie Dern. I mean, I like to see her versus Rose and Yan Xiaonan, you know, just to kind of get in there and fight her way up the rankings, you know. They're good other than that. But was there anything else she said here that kind of caught my eye? That was just the one thing I kind of wanted to discuss here, because I see a lot of people. I did a little community post, you know, at the time of this recording. Let's say it'll be a couple of days ago now. Everybody's saying no. Some people are saying yeah, but most people say no, like 72% or something like that said no. And I agree, man. Like, I don't really think there is an interim belt in the future for the strawweight division. And I don't think that Mackenzie Dern needs to fight Zhang Weili for that belt. You know, I think that Zhang Weili, it's a good fight now. Don't get me wrong. Like, style-wise, it's a good fight. But right now, where the timing is at, I think Zhang Weili, you know, was already promised this fight, so she should get it. And Mackenzie Dern, you know, she should fight one of those other fighters like Rose or Yan Xiaonan. So, to me, no interim belt, because the stock's already high in Zhang Weili. You know, she's already got enough going for her where, you know, you don't really need to decide or, you know, roll the dice and say, okay, let's make these people fight, then that'll give us a clear-cut winner. You know, to me, one title eliminator or title eliminator, you know, that's how you decide. You know, there doesn't really need to be that physical interim title, how they do in some divisions. So, yeah, let me know, guys, what y'all think about that, though, of Mackenzie Dern's idea of fighting y'all. Zhang Weili for that belt. So yeah, moving on to this last topic here. I talked a little bit about it in the live stream the other day, but I just wanted to kind of go back in on some things on this show here. As y'all know, Macy Barber, she scored a pretty lopsided victory over Jessica Eye. You know, Jessica Eye coming back after almost a year off, and, you know, coming back off a 3-fight losing streak as well. You know, Macy Barber put Jessica Eye into retirement this past weekend. You know, definitely went in there, showed some improved game, you know, but Jessica Eye at the same time, I could see that she wasn't looking 100%, you know, just kind of going in there fighting. Like I said, just kind of staying in the fight, going through the motions, but didn't really pose like a big, big problem for Macy Barber. But, you know, Macy Barber got her out of there. That's what we wanted to see. You know, new blood, beat the old blood, get them out. So with that, looking at the rankings, by the time this is posted, of course, you know, it's brand new week. Macy Barber is number 10 now. Just like I said, you know, I said, you know, they bump her up to the number 10 spot. She's entering the top 10. Jessica Eye is still number 13. I thought she'd be gone. Jessica Eye got to go, man. I thought she retired. Why is she still in the rankings? Maybe they'll take her out next week. Maybe they just want to make sure it's finalized. I don't know. But yeah, she's out of there, you know, for sure. As far as calling it, you know, quits. Macy Barber is in here at number 10 now. And with a high ranking once again, is one of the top 10 fighters and going in and getting the dominant victory. You know, Macy Barber is on her ego once again. And Macy Barber has some different things to say. Different things, you know, controversial, I guess. Let me go ahead and pull it up here. But let's talk about it. I mean, Macy Barber, once again, she says, look, she knows she's getting ready for the fight, for the big fight, for the championship. She, you know, she's sharpening up her skills. It could be one fight or two fights from now, but she's going to be ready for that job to go in there and fight the champion, Valentina Shevchenko. And she said, look, it's, you know, it's something that's on her mind. It's her goal. And it's something that can be done. You know, she can go in there and win. You know, she says she's got the mentality to win. But at the same time, you know, she's still not ready, right? It's something like that. You know, I played it for y'all the other day, but it was just, like, confusing to me. When she kind of threw me off. She was like, you know, I'm not ready now, but mentally I am ready. You know, if it was to happen now, I would be ready. So I was just like, huh? But she said she'd be ready for the fight because it's like with every fight, Valentina Shevchenko is getting exposed. That's right. She said with every single fight that's been going on, you know, Valentina Shevchenko has been getting exposed out there, and she's going to be ready for that. Now, right there, I already told y'all how I felt. You know, I said, okay, Macy Barber, you think Valentina's been exposed in her recent fights, more than one fight? I'm like, really? After seeing one tough fight against Tyler Santos, one real good test against a legitimate contender that wanted to go in there and win, and everybody is just ready to call Valentina this exposed fighter or this fighter that we can all see holes in now all of a sudden. Like, where was this talk before? Like, why weren't people seeing the same thing before? Like, why weren't they calling this out before? Like, even with Misha Tate, like, nobody was saying before, oh, yeah, you know, Valentina's not this perfect. You know, before it was Michael Jordan. It was near perfect. Or, oh, I'm not leapfrogging to fight her. Yeah, I'm not ready. Or, you know, I need more fights, right? But the minute somebody actually shows y'all, you know, now it's like, oh, yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Or, oh, yeah, I saw that. Or I could have did that. You know, that's how it always works with people, you know, even fighters. You know, everybody's human, right? So that's how it always works. When people see something done by one person, they always be like, oh, yeah. It's like, or like, you know what you see whenever somebody goes out and does something crazy. Like, oh, yeah, I already knew that person was crazy. You know, like, yeah, I could tell he was crazy. You know, I've always seen the tendencies in him. You know what I mean? So why didn't people act on it before and say something earlier, right? That's how it kind of seems with, like, fighters now, like with Macy and Misha Tate. But my thoughts on that, I can't co-sign that. I mean, for real, I'm just like, I've never seen Valentina Shevchenko exposed in any of her fights. I saw her tested against Tyler Santos, right? But before that, I didn't see her exposed in any other fights. I didn't see any weaknesses there. Like against Lauren Murphy, come on. I mean, the fight went on longer than a lot of people felt it should have been. But to me, that was a tactical beatdown. Other than that, it was still a dominant performance. Like, some people started booing at the Lauren Murphy fight. Some people said, oh, like, she should have got her out of there earlier. No, she shouldn't have. I'm just like, it's a style matchup. Like, it's the particular style she fought Lauren Murphy at. Other than that, I mean, the fight took longer than the Jessica Andrade fight, but it was this type of style. Like, the fighter she fought was a different frame and different size and a different approach, you know? So it was going to take a little bit longer. You know, it was going to take 3 or 4 rounds. You know, it wasn't going to take two like Jessica Andrade, who was smaller and didn't have the reach and didn't have the strength to handle her on the ground, right? So she went in there and just destroyed her in 2 rounds because that's the type of fighter Jessica Andrade, that's the type of skill set that she brought into that fight. I'm not saying that Lauren Murphy brought in like these great skills, but it was Lauren Murphy's approach. So there wasn't no exposure in that fight either, just her taking her time. No. Because if she was taking her time, why couldn't Lauren Murphy find any time to land anything big in there or do anything? She couldn't because Valentina still had the skills. Everything was still open and shut. Same with the Caitlin Chikagian fight. Same with Jess Guy. I didn't see any exposure in any of those fights. So which other fights is she talking about? And even we go to the Tyler Santos fight, what exposure was there? There wasn't any. It was just a test. You know, I'm not even going to go into all of that. It was just a test, though. You know, she was in there with somebody that was big and strong and that knew how to use their skills and knew how to use their size and throw their weight around in there. That's all that Valentina was dealing with. Other than that, she, you know, scored the shots on the ground, you know, and I could see her winning the fight going back and watching it. But this is what she had to say, just in case y'all missed it. Like, I played the clip. I'm going to just read out the key points. Okay, so she said, I feel like I don't want to rush things. The moment will present itself. Speaking of the title fight, it'll happen when it happens. If it's one fight, great. Two fights, great. Now, right there, I'm going to stop there because I feel like somebody that's as young as her at 24, they should put a higher number on, or they should put a number on it, or have it kind of fleshed out like a goal. You know what I mean? Like, it can't just be if it's one fight, great, or if it's two fights, great. You need to let the UFC know that, hey, I ain't ready yet. Let's be real, because she's number 10. But let's say if she did beat one fight, so if they gave it to her next, she'd be ready for that? She'd be cool with that? Because no, like, from what she's saying, that she still needs to get sharper and better, it can't be done in one fight. It can't even be done in two fights when you look at what Valentina presents. And if it was something that could be done, I mean, I would be saying she's in my triple threat. You know what I mean? But like, when I seen Tyler fight her way up, when I first saw Tyler come into the division and beat Jillian Robertson and Roxanne, I knew she would be a threat for Valentina Shevchenko. I said that. But I've never said that about Macy because they carry themselves different. I knew even with Tyler Santos, though, like whenever she had beat one or two fighters, I was like, I still need to see her fight a couple more. Then when she got to that point, I was like, okay, now she's ready. You know, now the time is now, right? But for Macy Barber, who doesn't really even have the style and the size threat to Valentina Shevchenko, even, you know, it has to be more than one fight, even more than two fights. You know, it has to be more than that because I don't think she has the time to really grow into this new improved style that she's been working on, you know, and the improvements. Let's see. She also said, I truly believe that I can beat the champion. I truly believe that I can beat the champion, and she's being exposed more and more with every fight that she has, and we're going to continue to expose that, and I'm going to continue to grind and chase that title. So when it happens, not if it happens, but when it happens, I'll be ready. Okay, so yeah, that was the part I was talking about earlier. She said she's beginning to get exposed more and more in every fight. And I already broke that down. I haven't seen her exposed in any of these other fights. I've seen a lot of ladies in there not take the chances to even expose anything. I've seen a lot of people shut down mentally already with the ability not to expose anything. Inability to not expose anything, right? Tyler Santos was the only one that had the guts to test it and bring forth her strength and her power and throw her weight around in there, like I said, and, you know, make sure she had the grappling to handle this type of fight with Valentina Shevchenko. But other than that, and Jennifer Maya did, you know, give it a gutsy 5-round fight, you know, but even then I gave her 1 round, right? But even in that fight, there wasn't really nothing to expose, I don't think, because there came a point Jennifer Maya just kind of sat back, you know, and got picked apart in the last 2 rounds, 4 and 5, right? But other than that, there's really been no exposure. Like, I can't see if she was exposed more and more in every fight. So just be real, Macy. Just say that, you know, I think I can capitalize on what Tyler Santos didn't do. Or I can go back and do what Tyler Santos did, you know, much better. You know, let's just be real. Because, you know, don't talk down Valentina's, her caliber now, her skill set now, you know, or her legacy now. Like, just because of what one fighter did, I mean, that one fighter wanted it. And that one fighter was on a high level to me. Tyler's still like the second best flyweight in the division right now, you know, over Jessica Andrade. You know, but, you know, for Macy to think that, you know, this was just something where she's been getting exposed in every fight, I'm like, nah, man. Like, yeah, I mean, you want to be confident and believe it one day that you could beat her, but you better take this thing and approach it with extreme caution like everybody else does, or make sure you got the right weapons. Because right now, I don't think she does. And like I said, with two fights, you know, we need to see what she looks like in these two fights against these high-level fighters. You know, she need to be calling out fighters around her. Like, not the fighters like Aaron and Casey. Like I said, I don't want to see her in their prospects. But she need to be calling out these next fighters above her, like Andrea Lee, Jennifer Maya, the winner or loser of, well, I want to see her fight Vivian Araújo at some point. You know, I still think Grasso could beat her. But I like to see her fight those fighters like Araújo, Grasso, and Araújo, Maya and Lee, fighters like that would be good. You know, I want to see her in there with fighters like that. It, you know, even called out Manon, you know, call out Manon because she's number 7 right now in the rankings. You know, why talk about the champion and say she's being exposed right now? Leave that alone. You know, I love it when fighters call fighters out that's realistic around them. You know, like, if you want to call out Macy or Casey O'Neill, fine. I mean, that's next year. But, you know, if you want to go higher, you know, I'd say, let me get Manon, you know, just to call her out. But I would say, yo, let me get Jennifer Maya. You know, Grasso called out Jennifer Maya, you know, so why not call that out? Something realistic. But yeah, that's just where I'm at with that. I don't really see her getting a title shot in two fights, or even looking like I mean, Dana White and them, they could give it to her in two fights. But I mean, could she be a threat? No, I don't see her winning or being a threat like Tyler was, you know. But I can see the UFC giving her the fight, you know, giving it to her at some point, just because they need somebody. Like, if Misha Tate gets blasted out, or even if Manon gets dominated, then you know, you go on to Macy Barber next, right? But I don't see her at any point ready for that. Has she improved? Yeah, she definitely improved. You know, she's been improving in her every fight, but not to top 5 level yet. I mean, she just got rewarded top 10. Let's see if she can hang on to top 10, you know? So yeah, that's where I'm at with that. No exposure in Valentina Shevchenko whatsoever in every fight, not even in her last fight against Tyler Santos. She was just in there tested, get somebody that wanted it just as much as her. And you know, Tyler, like I said, could have seen her winning the fight. But even then, it took a lot of grit for her to get that victory in some people's eyes. You know, she didn't, you know, go in there and not, you know, without getting banged up for Tyler Santos. And I don't know if Macy Barber can hang with that. Not at all. So, yeah, man, guys, let me know in the comment section what y'all think of that. You know, I just wanted to go in on this show about that topic because, like I said, look, you got to be real. You got to be realistic out there. Just because one person did it don't mean you can do it. You know, you got to say, look, okay, this is what I have to offer to beat this person. But it's like I said, you know, when us analysts watch fight, we can see all day long somebody might can be, okay, I can say, oh, this person's their weakness is a jab. You know, they get pieced up with the jab all day. You know, you can get hit with the jab all day, but does that mean I could do it? Probably not, right? You know, that's what it is. That's just being real. Like, if I go in there, oh, I can say I see something all day, but will I be able to expose that? No. You know, Mikey Garcia, he learned that the hard way against Errol Spence. I see something. Yeah, you saw something, but for 12 rounds, you couldn't get it. You know, you could not get it. Same goes with some of these fighters. Like, okay, Macy, you say, oh, she getting exposed in every single fight. Can you expose what you see, though? That's the question. So, yeah, man, let me know, guys, what y'all think. Think about that situation. Final thoughts for this episode, though. Like I said, final thoughts, man. You know, if you're going to be a fighter, it's a dangerous game. You got to have the technique and skills, of course, but you got to have those natural abilities as well. You know, you got to have the want, you got to have the fire, you got to have the dog, you got to have the dominance. Like, we see Valentino Shevchenko all day long as being this technical superior fighter compared to a lot out there, but she has the want. She wants to do this. She has the dog, you know. That's what makes her go in there and beat these fighters up and just brutalize so many of them. You know, even with technique, she's still doing it with some type of, you know, just built-in aggression and just natural ability, right? So you got to have that if you really want to be a fighter. If you don't have that, you can go in there and get hurt. Like, you can be technical all day, but, you know, if you shield up and run from a fight, you're going to really get hurt in there, right? You know, so it's all about going there and getting it. Yeah, like I said, for Mackenzie Dern situation, you know, I'd like to see her in there fight Rose or Jan Janan, because then I'd like to see Marina fight Rose next. That's a good fight. But I don't really think there's a purpose for an interim title right now. I think it's clear who the next title contender is, Zhang Weili. And I think the next one should be Marina Rodriguez if she does fight Rose and beats Rose, right? Yeah. As for Macy Barber, you know, just stay working. You know, just keep the champ's name out your mouth, because Jennifer Maia could be your very next opponent, and that's the one you overlook, and boom, that fighter might knock you right back out of the top 10. Or let it be Andrea Lee, right? Could be her. So, yeah, guys, that's all I got on this episode. Make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99. And, you know, like I said, subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play. Just type in hashtag CB99Talks. And tune in there. But yeah, like I said, I'm gonna try to get on these episodes every Thursday now, which I'm gonna try to don't quote me on that. They're just gonna be a lot shorter like this one. So yeah, guys, I'm gonna catch y'all in the next one. Combo Breaker 99. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.